Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to the final stages of Job's court case against God. As you'll remember, Job brought some accusations against God and demanded his day in court. His three friends, Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad, they couldn't point out to Job what his sins was, and yet they condemned Job anyway. And then Job, because of that, justified himself rather than God. He started to defend himself and say, "No, I haven't sinned, and therefore I don't deserve to be suffering like I am. God is unfair. God is the one that's in the wrong." And then God said, "Okay, Job, you wanted to have your day in court? I'm going to give you your day in court. But first, I'm going to let you talk to my defense attorney, Elihu." And Elihu broke Job down by extolling God's attributes and humbling Job, showing Job that he was nothing. And Job did not respond to Elihu like he had to his other three friends, because every time his three friends would say something, Job would have a comeback. But he had no comeback for Elihu, because Elihu was able to convict Job's conscience. And then after Elihu set up Job to meet his maker, God stepped in and he took the stand, the witness stand. And now God has broken down Job, and I can just see myself in the court case saying, "God, break him down, God." And that's what he did. And just like that, Job got the message. And can't you just see Job shrinking in his seat? And we can see this in Job chapter 40 and verses 1 through 5. This is Job chapter 40 and verses 1 through 5. Yahweh answered Job and said, "Shall he who argues contend with the Almighty? He who reproves God, let him answer my questions." And Job sheepishly, meekly answered Yahweh and said, "Behold, I am vile, God. What shall I answer you? I will keep my mouth shut from now on. I have spoken, but I will not answer you anymore. Yes, I spoke twice, but I will go no further." So Job realizes that he's nothing compared to God. He's a puny little misfit. He realizes that God is correct when he says of himself and his wondrous works, "Job, you can't touch this. Doom, 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 doom. You can't touch this." Ah, but God is not through giving Job a tongue lashing yet. The Lord directs Job's attention to matters of justice, because heretofore he's been talking about his greatness and his majesty. Now he turns to matter of justice. And we can see this starting in Job chapter 40 and verse 6. And we'll read through to verse 14. This is Job chapter 40, verses 6 through 14. Yahweh answered Job out of the tempest and said, "Now gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you teach me. Will you also set aside my judgment, Job? Will you condemn me so that you may be justified?" Now hear this. Hear this, I'm going to repeat this. In verse 8, "Will you also set aside my judgment, Job? Will you, Job, condemn me so that you may be justified?" See, this was the problem. That's really it in a nutshell. Job was not suffering because of some sins that he committed. So he was right in defending himself against his friends, but he was wrong in defending himself against God. See, he should have said, "God, you are right. All of your judgments are just. I am suffering. I don't believe it's because of my sins. You haven't shown me any particular sins that I have. But I understand that you are almighty and that you are good all of the time. So this bad stuff that's happened to me, you're going to make it work out for my good, because I love you and I know that I'm called according to your purpose." But instead of that, under the immense intensity of Job's trial, the fact that it was severe and prolonged, Job started to crack And as he vehemently defended himself against his friends, he then turned against God and vehemently defended himself against God. And he demanded his day in court. And so God is saying in verse 8, will you also set aside my judgment? Will you condemn me so that you may be justified? Verse 9, and have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself now with majesty and grandeur, and with glory and honor clothe yourself. Put forth the rage of your wrath, and behold, everyone who is a proud, you abase that person. If you find a proud person and you have the power to abase that person, then I'll begin to listen to you. In verse 12, God says, look on everyone who is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in darkness. Then, if you can do that, Job, then you're saying something. If you can do that, Job, then I also will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Until you can do that, Job, you need to sit down and shut up. I'm putting you in check, Job. No one human being and no group of human beings can eradicate evil from this earth. After all, human beings are the ones that introduced and reproduced all the evil on this earth. So no one human being like Job and no group of human beings like any nation that has ever existed can eradicate evil from this earth, because we as human beings are the ones that introduced and reproduced evil all over this earth. All of the evil we have introduced into the earth. Yeah, it might have been done under the influence of Satan the devil, the prince of the power of the air, but we have to own our own sins. And all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. So none of us are going to be able to eradicate the evil. All we do is introduce the evil and reproduce the evil over and over again. That is the sorry written history of mankind, that we only introduce and reproduce evil, not eradicate it. And so God is saying to Job, Job, if you think you're all that in a bag of chips, if you think you got it going on, Job, then with all of your power, with all of your wrath against unrighteousness, then why don't you put down the wicked? Why don't you clear this earth of all unrighteousness? Then I'll sit down and listen to you. But until that time, you better sit down and shut up and let me do the talking. So Elohim returns to his matchless creation to continue breaking down Job. And he says in Job chapter 40, verses 15 through 24, now behold the behemoth, and he's talking now about huge animals, the largest animals of the earth. He talks about the behemoth, which is a land animal. And he says, now behold the behemoth, which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now his strength in his loins and his force in the muscles of his belly. He hangs his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are like the tubes of bronze. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. His maker brings near his sword. For the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus in the hiding place of the reed in the marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shallow. The willows of the brook surround him. Behold, though a flood presses, he does not run away. He feels safe even if the Jordan swells up to his mouth. Shall any take him before his eyes or pierce through his nose with cords? No, Job, you better not step to the behemoth, the largest of the land animals. And he goes on to say the same thing about the largest of the sea creatures, the Leviathan. This is in Job chapter 41. And we're going to skip around a couple of verses here. But Job chapter 41, where God says, can you draw out the Leviathan with a hook? Can you put a rope into his nose or pierce his jaw? Will he multiply pleas for you to help him? Will he speak soft words to you? Will you take him for a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird, or will you bind for him your maidens? Lay your hand on him. Think of the battle. You will never do it again. Will not one be cast down at the sight of him? None is so fierce as to dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? If you can't stand before him, then you can't stand before me. I will not keep silent concerning his limbs, or his mighty strength, or the grace of his frame. Who can take off the surface of his skin? Who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open doors to his face? Terror is round about his teeth. The rows of his scales are his pride, shut up with a close seal. One is so near to the other that no air can come between them, and that they cannot be separated. His sneezing flashes forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of dawn. Out of his mouth sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goes smoke. His heart is cast as hard as stone. The mighty are afraid from his rising. He counts iron as straw, and bronze as rotten wood. An arrow cannot make him flee. Stones are turned by him into stubble. Darts are counted as straw. He laughs at the shaking of a javelin. On earth there is nothing like him, one made without fear. He beholds all things. He is a king over all the sons of pride. And I love it when God said in verse 8, lay your hand on Leviathan and think of the battle, because you will never do it again. And that's the same realization that God brought Job to. Job was saying in his mind, man, I put my hand on God and I thought of the battle, and I tell you what, I'm never going to do it again. Job never, ever justified himself rather than God after God got through with him. Well, we're just about through with our series of programs. We just got two more left. I hope you'll return for those final two programs. Thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you. 666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. Right from the pages of your own Bible, I will first reveal to you the identity of the beast, and secondly reveal to you what is the mark of the beast. I will do this during a free seminar entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? This free seminar will be held on Wednesday, February 14th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the North Lake Barbara Lohr Library, which is located at 3772 La Vista Road in Tucker, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please, don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you may end up receiving the mark of the beast. Many people will receive the mark of the beast in order to escape the great tribulation, which is Satan's wrath against the people of God. But those who receive the mark of the beast will not escape the day of the Lord, which is God's wrath against the people of disobedience. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.